And then I want to speak something to you. Father, we come to you now, and Lord, we just separate ourselves to you. Holy Spirit of the living God, I'm asking you to put your words in my mouth and open our hearts to hear, to perceive, to understand. Shine the light into every chamber of our heart and tell us if there's things we need to get out, say, get that out. And if there's things we need to incorporate, say, you need that and you need to walk in that. So, Lord, I'm asking you through your word today to speak to us, lead us, guide us, show us things to come, open the eyes of our understanding. And we thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, brother, I don't want to prophesy today because I don't want to be ugly, but I want to get to be able to speak the things and I want to be able to speak out of the word. But God brought some verses to mind for you. This is for everybody too, but for you specifically. And I don't know if you know this, and I don't remember the exact math numbers, but in the book of Judges, the period of the time of the judges, and I'm making the numbers up because I can't remember, but the period of the times of the judges is 300 years. But if you add up all the judges' lives, it's like 700 years. So you're saying, well, how was there 300 years of the times of the judges if I add up Samson's life and Jephthah and so on and so on? And so what it is we tend to think when Samson delivered Israel, because it says Samson delivered Israel, when Samson delivered Israel, he delivered all of Israel, but he didn't. While Samson was in one area, which is Gaza today, in Gaza, he defeated the Lord of the Five Cities. But Jephthah was somewhere else. And there's Shamgar, there's all different judges, Deborah, all of these different judges. A lot of things are going on. God's doing a lot of things. Don't allow other judges to influence what God has called you to do. Okay, you'll hear voices of other judges and say, this is how you do it. You push the pillars down. Well, that works if you're Samson. I'm not Samson. And people have good intentions, but they'll try to pull you away from what God's called you to do. God is doing something with you, with y'all. There's a call here. So when Samson won his battle, I just like his story in particular, and there's a lot more about it. But when Samson won his battle and defeated, it said he delivered Israel, but he didn't deliver all of Israel. He delivered Israel where he was. Okay? And so we can be robbed by saying, well, what's Jephthah doing? What's Shamgar doing? What's Deborah doing? Doesn't matter what they're doing. God is delivering Israel through the different judges. So don't let them pull you away from what's brewing in you. So Father, I just thank you for my brother Donnie, and I thank you for satisfying and stabilizing and helping him say, okay, wait. Well, good for you. But that's not for me. I thank you, Father, for just solidifying, this is it, solidifying the call within him. And that he doesn't have to sit and say, no, God has called me to deliver these people from the Lord of the Five Cities, and I will finish my call. I'm going to do it. And I thank you, Father. I just bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless this congregation and this call here, I bless it and thank you for deliverance. I thank you for healing. I thank you for the will of God being performed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Now, what I want to do is I want to be fast. Is that clock work back there? Is it moving? I mean, is it moving? Okay. I'm going to use that. Okay. What I want to do is I'm going to talk to you about praying in the Spirit. All right, now, I'm assuming everybody in here is born again. If you're not, you need to be. we'll work on that. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be. We'll work on that. But I'm going to talk to you as though you are and as though you kind of know what I'm talking about, and I'm sure you know about praying in the Spirit, but I want to help with not just a different view on praying in the Spirit, but praying in the Spirit is a unique aspect of a particular gift. There is a gift, and there's diverse kinds of tongues praying in the Spirit. There's different kinds, and there's one that is sorely neglected. Now, when Jesus came, and this is some of what I was teaching at Tom's, when Jesus came, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." Okay? When he said that, he was talking to people, as Paul said about himself, and he likely heard Jesus speak. Paul said, concerning the law, I was blameless. So Paul was not out fornicating, lying, cheating, and this kind of stuff. And in the vision of Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he was shown unclean animals. He said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. So these people were living right. Now, I'm not saying every Jew in Israel was living right, but they were living right. But Jesus came, and after John the Baptist got put in prison, Jesus came and he said, repent, the kingdom is at hand. The words repent in Hebrew and the Greek, in the Greek it means to change your mind. It really encompasses all of this, but if you just look at the definition of the Greek, it's metanoia, is to change your mind. But in the Hebrew, it's to change your direction, it's to change, not just change the way you think, change. So that what you think is in line with what you do. Now, when Jesus was saying repent, he was talking to Jews. They knew what he was saying. I know he spoke Greek, he spoke Hebrew, but nonetheless, he was saying to change all of your direction. And he's saying this to people who were basically, now, I don't mean they were saved, but they were God-fearing nation. Not everybody, amen, we know that. Religious leaders weren't, but people feared God. So why is he talking so strong about repentance? Is he saying quit lying, cheating, committing adultery? And they're like, we're not doing these things. No, he was saying the kingdom is at hand and it is going to require you to quit thinking like you've been thinking about how you walk with God. You're walking with God. Jesus didn't go around saying, you bunch of heathens, you're not even walking with God. You're walking with God. But there's something that's happening. When I'm coming, it's not just me coming. I'll die for your sins, raised from the dead. Amen. But when I do that, there is a transition that's going to happen all over the world. Jesus is called the last Adam. When the first Adam sinned, it affected all of creation. When Jesus rose from the dead, it affected all of creation. And so what he was saying is, listen, I'm telling you right now, y'all are going to have to think different. And so I'm saying, I believe he's saying to us in the church, whoa, y'all have slipped. You've actually backslid. And you say, I'm not lying, cheating, stealing, committing adultery. Of course, if you are doing that, quit, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. He's saying, as Paul said in Corinthians, quit walking like mere people. What are you doing? The whole world changed when I came, and it will never be the same. And your walk with God has changed, and it will never be the same. And unless you're willing to turn and change the way you walk with God, you're going to miss what I have. I'm not going to say the denomination, but there's a particular denomination that's dominant where I live. And I tell people, if you do not learn to walk in the Spirit, like this particular denomination in my area, and I love these people, they're good people. But if you refuse to walk with the Spirit, you're just literally walking like an Old Testament saint. Yeah. How many of you know Abraham was saved? Yeah. He was saved. Elijah, Ezekiel, Daniel, these guys are saved. And apparently, when Elijah was saying, I'm the only one, God said, I got 7,000. So there was godly people, but they weren't walking in what Jesus ushered in. Jesus didn't just usher in, and he really didn't even usher it in, salvation. People were being saved. As I said, Abraham's the father of our faith. How many of you know he got here before Jesus did? Okay. So Abraham was the father of our faith. Jesus, God was saving people through faith in the Messiah before he showed up. But when he showed up, some things did change. We have a new and better covenant. Things changed. Salvation didn't change. It was always through Messiah, even in the Old Testament. They looked ahead. Jesus said about Abraham, he saw my day and rejoiced. Okay, so Abraham was looking unto the author and finisher of his faith even back then. But something else happened when Jesus came and he said, repent, not because I'm here. Jesus didn't say, repent, I'm here. He said, repent, the kingdom is at hand. Change your thinking. You got to think different. You're going to have to walk with God different. I know you've walked with him this way, and you should have. This is the way you were taught. Moses was your tutor. But now, someone else has come. And we know that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke about him in John and said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He said, I have many things. Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but I can't. They're beyond you now. Surely you can explain it, Lord, because you're the greatest teacher it ever was. You're wiser than Solomon. Actually, it's not the problem of me explaining it. It's the problem of you getting it. And so he's saying, his word is, repent. Turn. Be willing to change. That's what he was saying. Be willing to change. So I know y'all know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit. I want to hopefully communicate some information that God's going to open your understanding where I think, as a whole, the church has missed, I think, one of the most precious manifestations of the Spirit is praying in the Spirit. But I want to show you how and why. And we kind of mix things up when it comes to praying in the Spirit. Now, this is a major part of my life. And I'm not telling you to follow my pattern, and I'm not telling you I'm the standard. I am not. But the Lord told me, you need to pray in the Spirit at least an hour every day. Okay? I'm not saying you need to do that. You need to do that. Do I do it every day? No. Sometimes I'm traveling and this and that. And I'm just not able to do it. And God doesn't say, ah, you've had it now. Because he's telling me, in the sense of, like your nutritionist or whatever might say, you need to eat healthy every day. Well, every once in a while you're on the road and you have to eat a Big Mac. Okay? And I know they're not good for you. So God's not, he's not setting up a rule of if you do wrong, that this is wrong if you don't do it. But he is saying this, I have given you a unique special ability. And if you don't take advantage of it, it's going to cost you. Not a punishment. It's just like a lot of Americans, the way we eat, and I'm talking to me, the way we eat cost us in the end. Now, when you're young, you can eat anything. When you start getting older, you're like, I wish I didn't do that. But it is a fact. So I'm saying this. I'm going to stress to you to incorporate this into your life. And I'm going to try to explain to you why. So now the Lord's going to have to help us. What I want to do is I want to go to 1 Corinthians 14. That's where we're going to be in those first few verses. And I may make reference to some others. Actually, I'll just make reference to them. I don't want to take the time to... So let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is tongues. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell, and they all began to speak in tongues. But the tongues that happened on the day of Pentecost and what 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about are not the same. On the day of Pentecost, these people spoke in a language, divinely inspired language, that they did not know, but their hearers did know. Because the men heard in their own language. They said, what is this? How did these people learn our language? Here we hear them speaking in our own tongue and glorifying God. When we get into 1 Corinthians 14, we see that that is not the case. Okay, that is, so we're not talking about the same one. But what we're talking about, and I did write this verse, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 12. I don't think I wrote down the verse number, but I think it's like in the first part of 12, or actually mid down, where he says there are divers kinds or different kinds, and it's the word Genesis from where we get the word Genesis, but it's the Greek word, it's the beginnings. There's different types or different kinds of tongues, like there's different kinds of dogs. All dogs are dogs, but not all dogs are the same kind. Okay, so this is what we're talking about. So we have this gift, this supernatural gift of speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. So the argument a lot that I run into about tongues is like, well, that happened on the day of Pentecost, and then I see these people praying in tongues, and I don't see anybody understand what they're saying in a language, and I'm saying, no, I know, that's a different kind. Okay, it's a different kind. So we're going to focus on one kind, and this is unique and personal to us. Now, of all of the gifts of the Spirit, Paul wrote the most about tongues. And the reason he did is because he had to help people not abuse this, because, I mean, how can you abuse miracles? And I was like, well, I was just walking along, miracles started happening. Well, brother, you did them at the wrong time. No, when a miracle happens, you're like, hey, praise the Lord, a miracle happened. I don't care. But tongues, because there's divers kinds or different kinds, we're going to find out there's a personal kind. That I have a personal prayer language. And because it's my personal prayer language, what we're going to see is I can turn it on or off whenever I want to. Therefore, I can abuse when I turn it on. Meaning I can turn it on at the wrong time. Okay? Now, that does not mean that that gift is not genuine and good at the time that I turn it on. But you can turn things on at the wrong time. The things that I'm steward over, that you're steward over. But what happened on the day of Pentecost, for me to pray in an unknown tongue and you to hear it in Japanese, Chinese, Russian, or whatever, I don't have any control over that. I can't make that happen. But I can pray in the Spirit. So Paul says, okay, wait. I got to give you all some instruction, because this unique aspect about praying in the Spirit can be done at the wrong time. And I'm not wanting to focus on the wrong time thing. I'm just saying that's why he wrote so much about it. And he didn't spend this much time on any other of what we call the gifts of the Spirit. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 1, and we're going to read 1 through 5. And then I'm going to try, and I repeat this before I pray in the Spirit in the mornings. I walk and I say, now, Lord, I am going to pray in the Spirit now. And here's what's happening when I pray in the Spirit. And I rehearse to him what 1 Corinthians 14 says. Now, I know he knows that, okay? But I'm saying this for me. So 1 Corinthians 14, 1, we'll start there. Says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I'm going to give you some definitions. Can't spend time on all these, but pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Prophesying is this, divinely inspired speaking. Not just speaking, divinely inspired speaking in a language that is known. Okay, that's prophecy. So if I prophesy to somebody like Tom just did, like I believe I just did, then it was divinely inspired and I spoke it. So now I'm not talking about prophecy, but I needed to define it because that helps define something else. Verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue, now the word speak here could very easily be translated pray by the context of the rest of the sentence. For he who prays or speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. So was this what happened on the day of Pentecost? No, they were speaking to men. They were glorifying God. So already we see, okay, wait. Then this is a different tongue than what happened on the day of Pentecost. Listen to what he says. Speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So when you're praying in a tongue, you are speaking to God. Now, it's a divinely inspired speaking. Because as we go through the rest of the verses, if we get time, we're going to see you're not speaking this because you don't even know what you're saying. Where did you get this? Where did you get this vocabulary? And so what we have is a divinely inspired utterance that is not to men, but is to God. I like to say it like this. You know, if you were going to go meet the Queen of England, before you would go in, they would say, okay, now listen, you're fixing to go before the Queen. And they really do. They go through this all this protocol. You don't do this. You don't do this. You don't do that. And you don't do this. You do this. And you do this. And this is how you're to approach her. Okay. So they prepare you to talk to God. I mean, they prepare you to talk to her. I'm saying what this prayer language is God anoints you. Listen, anoints you to talk to him. See, oh Lord, anoint me to heal the sick. Anoint me to cast out devils. How about if I anointed you to talk to me? Oh Lord, if I could be anointed to talk to you. Because I know if I talk to you, I know how I'm going to talk. But I could be anointed to talk to you? Whoa. Because people always say, well, if I ever see the vision of the Lord or something like this, I'm going to ask this and ask that and ask this. And so if some people have had a vision of the Lord or caught up to heaven or whatever, you know what? They don't ask any of that stuff. Why? Their mind goes, beep, and they fall over. So you say, I'm going to. But if God has said, I have an anointing, a special anointing for you to be able to commune with me. I'm going to anoint you to do this. It's like, oh, Lord. Now, we tend to say, well, amen, praise the Lord, everybody's baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, if God only said, I'm only going to allow 100 people per year to be anointed to speak to me, you'd stand in line for 10 miles to see if you could be one of the 100 who was anointed to talk to God. Imagine if you were anointed to talk to him. Well, we are. We are. So now listen to what he says here. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And no one understands him. You don't understand. The devil doesn't understand. Demons don't understand. Angels don't understand. This is a unique, special ability to commune with you and God. Now, when I went to different Bible schools, but this one particular one I went to, there was a teacher who came, and the head guy of our school said, if I ever say ABC and he says XYZ, go with him. He's XYZ. He's smarter than I am. Okay. So this guy said, and it just stuck in my head way back then, and now it comes back and registers with me today. He said, I believe, though I can't give you a proof text on this, I believe that there is a portion of the will of God that my people, that God's people, will never walk in if they do not pray in the Spirit. God says in his word, my people, my very own people who I love, my people perish for what they don't know. And I watch them. It didn't happen without me seeing it. No, I saw it. I'm like, There they go. There they go. They are fixing to perish. They are fixing to walk down a road of destruction. They're fixing to mess up only because they don't know. If they only knew. Well, Lord, if they only knew, why don't you do something? I did do something. But we neglect what God has given us. Now, in the Old Testament, God gave the law through Moses and the words through the prophets. They were given instruction, but they neglected it. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us, in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. And then He warns us in chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, He says, therefore, take more earnest heed to what you've heard. Why? Because you've heard from the Son of God Himself. And do not neglect this great salvation. So, Jesus is saying repent. I'm saying repent. Everybody in here needs to repent. Yes. I'm living right, brother. Okay, amen. I hope you are. But I'm saying repent and quit thinking how we've thought about walking with God and say, okay, Lord, what is this meaning about anointed to talk to you? Anointed to speak to you, not to men? No one understands it. Devil doesn't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying. People don't know what I'm saying. Angels don't know what I'm saying. This is you and I. Help me to see. Help me to understand. So now let's go on down here. He says, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks. So what are we speaking? We're speaking a spiritual language. There is a language of the spirit. There is a language of the spirit. And apparently we are gifted to speak in this language. But if no one understands it, it's not the language of the angels, or they would understand. He says no one understands. It's not the language of humans, for they would understand. This is a unique, special language of the Spirit. This is something God has given us. So now let's go on. Here's the part I want to kind of focus on for today. And this is just the way it's going to be.